This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين وبعد السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Last week we looked at one of the tactics used by Quraysh to oppose the da'wah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And that tactic was false accusations, labeling the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam with labels that were not true of him. And so it was a form of character assassination, where when you fail to disprove the message that he came with, you resort to trying to bring him down by accusing him things that he was accusing him with things that he was innocent of. And so they called him a madman, they called him crazy, they called him possessed, they called him a magician, a sorcerer, a liar, all in an attempt to put an end to his da'wah and to prevent people from following him. And so we also looked at how this tactic failed and how it did not prevent people from accepting Islam. And so some of the very people who they targeted with their propaganda were the very people who ended up embracing Islam, and we looked at examples of that. And so today we move on to other tactics that were used by Quraysh. And so we previously mentioned how the enemies of Islam, when they have no valid arguments to counter the truth with, you know, when we come to them and prove to them that Islam is the truth, when they fail to respond with valid arguments, with proofs, they resort to, as we mentioned last week, false accusations. But there's also something else that they would resort to, and that is mockery and ridicule and making fun of the people who possess the truth. And the Quran is filled with ayat where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. And so for example, in the end of Surah Al-Mutaffifin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا كَانُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَضْحَكُونَ, that the wicked, they used to laugh at those who believed. وَإِذَا مَرُّوا بِهِمْ يَتَغَامَزُونَ, and when they would pass by them, they would wink to one another. They would look to one another and wink. وَإِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمُ انْقَلَبُوا فَكِهِينَ, and when they returned to their people, when they would go home, they would return in joy and jesting and feeling good about what they did. وَإِذَا رَأَوْهُمْ قَالُوا إِنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ لَضَالُّونَ, and when they would see the believers, they would say, these people are lost, they have gone astray. وَمَا أُرْسِلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ حَافِظِينَ, and then Allah replies, they were not sent as guardians over the believers, you know, who are you to be judging the believers and talking about them in this way? فَالْيَوْمَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنَ الْكُفَّارِ يَضْحَكُونَ. And so on this day, meaning on the Day of Judgment, it is the believers who will be laughing at the disbelievers. And so the scales will turn. And so on the Day of Judgment, it is the believers who will be laughing at the disbelievers. عَلَى الْأَرَائِكِ يَنْظُرُونَ, as they sit on canopied couches looking on. هَلْ ثُوِّبَ الْكُفَّارُ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. Have the disbelievers not been paid back for what they used to do? And so in these ayat, we can see clearly that one of the tactics of the kuffar and of Quraysh was to laugh and make fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as well as his followers. And so among the things that they said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Furqan, وَإِذَا رَأَوْكَ إِن يَتَّخِذُونَكَ إِلَّا هُزُوًا. When they see you, O Muhammad, they only make fun of you, saying, أَهَذَا الَّذِي بَعَثَ اللَّهُ رَسُولًا. Is this the one that Allah has sent as a messenger? Allah couldn't send anyone else besides him, making fun of him, looking down on him. And so they would say, didn't Allah have anyone better to send as a messenger to us? They would make fun of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and make fun of him and mock him and ridicule him. Even though Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam belonged to the most noblest of families, and he had the most outstanding character among Quraysh, and we spoke about this previously. And he was who he was prior to becoming a prophet among them, according to their own admission. But yet they made fun of him and ridiculed him, because according to them, he was not the most rich. He was not the most wealthiest, nor was he the most powerful. And so the arrogant people and those who are proud and like to boast, they look at these two things. They look at wealth, and they look at power. Especially those who have wealth and those who have power. And so an example of someone who had wealth was Qarun. And he looked down on others. An example of someone who had power was Fir'aun. And he subjugated others. And that's why when Musa alayhi salam came, he tried to challenge him. Not because he didn't believe that he's actually a messenger from Allah. He knew that deep down inside. But it was a challenge to his authority. And he thought, I'm the best among you. I'm the one who should be the leader, not this lowly person, according to him. And so this is why Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, who was one of the leaders of Quraysh, he said, does Muhammad receive revelation while I'm left out, and yet I'm the most senior among Quraysh? You know, how is it that he's getting revelation and he is a prophet and a messenger, and I've been sidelined? And then he said not only about himself, but he said also, and Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi has also been left out. Who was he? He was the leader of Thaqif, who was the main tribe in Ta'if. And these two cities, Mecca and Ta'if, were the main cities in Al-Hijaz. And so he said, me and him are the two leaders of our two towns. How have we been sidelined and prophethood has been given to Muhammad? And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Az-Zukhruf, وَقَالُوا لَوْلَا نُزِّلَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنُ عَلَى رَجُلٍ مِنَ الْقَرْيَتَيْنِ عَظِيمٍ. And they, the kuffar, said, if only this Qur'an was revealed to a great man from one of the two cities, meaning Mecca or Ta'if, referring to either Al-Walid or Abu Mas'ud al-Thaqafi. Other individuals have been mentioned in the tafsir of this ayah, but this is one of the interpretations that refers to these two individuals. And so they would not only ridicule the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but they would also ridicule his followers. And so they would say the same thing about the believers. They would say, how is it that these people have been chosen to be on the truth and we have been left out? We're better than them. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-An'am, وَكَذَلِكَ فَتَنَّا بَعْضَهُمْ لِبَعْضٍ لِيَقُولُوا أَهَؤُلَاءِ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ بَيْنِنَا. Allah has tested some through others, so that the disbelievers may say, has Allah favored these, meaning the poor believers, has Allah favored them over us? So Ibn Kathir, he says in his tafsir of this ayah, the mushrikun of Quraysh would mock and ridicule those who believed from among the poor weak, among the poor and weak Muslims. And they would persecute those who they were able to persecute. Whoever they were able to torture, they tortured, such as Bilal radiallahu anhu and others. But others, they were not able to torture them and persecute them because of their position. Ibn Kathir says, and they would say, has Allah favored these poor believers out of all of us? Meaning, Allah would not guide these people to good and leave us out of the picture. As Allah has said elsewhere in Surah Al-Ahqaf, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَوْ كَانَ خَيْرًا مَا سَبَقُونَ إِلَيْهِ. The disbelievers said to the believers, if there was any good in this, in Islam, then they would not have preceded us to it. They would not have beat us to it. If there was any good in this Islam, we would have been the first ones to accept it. And so look at how they view things. Look at their pride. And look at the reason for why they resort to mockery and ridicule. And so to show how unsatisfied they were about the weak and the powerless following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they once came to him. They once came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said to him, we're not happy. We're not happy with the likes of these guys, meaning Bilal, Suhaib, Al-Khabbab. They said, we're not happy with these people sitting with you, O Muhammad. If you want us to sit with you, then get rid of these guys. Get rid of them. Dismiss them. And so it is said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was about to do that. Why? Because he thought this is an opportunity to give them da'wah. If this is what they're asking for, in order to hear my message, for me to sit with them and give them da'wah, then it's not a big deal. I'll just ask, my companions to leave for a little bit. And so this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا تَطُرُدِ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَهُ. And do not dismiss those poor believers who call upon their Lord morning and evening, seeking the pleasure of Allah. مَا عَلَيْكَ مِنْ حِسَابِهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ وَمَا مِنْ حِسَابِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ فَتَطْرُدَهُمْ فَتَكُونَ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. You are not accountable for them whatsoever, and they are not accountable for you. So do not dismiss them. Do not get rid of them, or else you will be one of the wrongdoers. And so look at how Quraysh looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers, looking down on them, mocking them, ridiculing them. And there are so many examples of this. But let us not forget that this tactic was used by all of those who oppose the prophets and the messengers throughout history. It's nothing new. It was nothing new. Nuh alayhi salam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to build the ark, to build the ship, and to get ready for the disaster that is about to come, the flood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when he was building it, وَيَصْنَعُ الْفُلْكَ وَكُلَّمَا مَرَّ عَلَيْهِ مَلَأٌ مِّنْ قَوْمِهِ سَخِرُوا مِنْهِ. As he was building it, every time the chiefs of his people, the elite among his people, would come by and see what he was doing, building a huge ark on land where there's no sea, there's no water, they would start making fun of him. They would start laughing at him, ridiculing him, mocking him. قَالَ إِن تَسْخَرُوا مِنَّا فَإِنَّا نَسْخَرُ مِنْكُمْ كَمَا تَسْخَرُونَ. He said to them, if today you are mocking us and you are laughing at us, then soon we will be the ones who will be laughing at you. And again, we mentioned last week that throughout the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions al-mala', the chiefs, the elite from among the people of every prophet. They are the ones who would always object and oppose the prophets and the messengers. And this is one of the reasons. They would say, are they better than us? The poor, the ones we look down on, the weak, the powerless. How is it that their status has elevated and we're out of the picture? Their pride and their arrogance is what led them to this. And so this is why another example is Fir'aun. Another example is Fir'aun. And how he persecuted Bani Israel. And he saw that they are of a different class than his own people. They're of a lower class, and we're better than them. And so this is why in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would often console the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would comfort him by reminding him that if they are making fun of you, and if they are laughing at you, mocking you and ridiculing you, then the previous prophets and the messengers had to face what was similar to that. وَلَقَدْ اسْتُهْزِئَ بِرُسُلٍ مِّن قَبْلِكَ. The messengers before you, they were also ridiculed. فَحَاقَ بِالَّذِينَ سَخِرُوا مِنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا بِهِ يَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. And so those who were doing the mocking and the ridiculing, the punishment surrounded them. And so in the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. And so this is one of the tactics that would be used by Quraysh to ridicule and to mock. And so among the lessons that we learned from this tactic was, first of all, that the enemies of Islam resort to mockery and ridicule when, after failing in responding to proof with proof, after failing to respond to argument, with a valid argument, with a valid proof, when they can't do that, they resort to making fun and ridiculing the message and the messenger in an effort to ward the people away. And so if this happened in the past with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it also happens today. And so the atheists, for example, who deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when they're unable to disprove the existence of Allah, and if you were to get into a debate with them, they would resort to name calling and ridicule and mockery. And this is what we have seen over the last few years with a movement that was known as the New Atheist Movement, represented by certain atheists who wrote books in which they attacked Islam in particular, mocking Islam, making fun of the Muslims. And you don't really find much content in their books refuting the arguments presented by us to prove the existence of Allah. And so if it happened in the past, it continues to happen until today. They resort to it when they fail. When they fail to disprove the truth. The second lesson that we learn is that one of the main driving forces for this tactic is, as we mentioned, pride and arrogance and also envy, where they feel that they are better and more superior. And so they have this envy in their hearts and jealousy, as we saw in that statement of Al-Walid ibn al-Mughira, that if anyone should have been chosen to be a prophet and a messenger, it should have been me. I'm better than him. I'm more senior than him. I'm the leader of my people. Why is it that he has been chosen? And so this is what their hearts is filled with, and then it comes out in this way. Likewise, in every era, in every age, wherever you see people mocking and making fun of Islam and of the believers, this is one of the main reasons for it. And this is one of the main reasons for why they don't accept Islam, because they feel themselves superior and they don't want to give up their status. The third point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed that He will take care of those who mock the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّا كَفَيْنَاكَ الْمُسْتَهْزِئِينَ. Allah said to His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will certainly be sufficient for you, O Muhammad, against those who mock you. We have taken care of them. Don't worry about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this to comfort the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so that he wouldn't take it to heart and he wouldn't become distracted. Because this tactic is also to distract the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from his mission of conveying the message. If you make fun of him, if you mock him, he's going to become busy with you, and then he's going to forget about what he's supposed to be doing. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry about them. Those who mock you, those who make fun of you, we will take care of them. And we find in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that those who were leading this campaign against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they were taken out one by one by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the majority of them were killed in the Battle of Badr. And others died before that. And likewise, throughout history, wherever you found people making fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took care of them. It's a historic fact. If you were to go and search throughout history, people who made fun of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without accepting Islam or without repenting, they were taken care of in the worst of ways, and they met the worst of fates. Finally, the last lesson that we can learn from this is for us Muslims to beware of falling into mockery ourselves and making fun of Islam or the believers, and looking down on your fellow brothers and sisters because of a certain social class that you may belong to, and those who are less fortunate, they may not belong to that social class. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَهَلْ تُنصَرُونَ إِلَّا بِضُعَفَائِكُمْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is through these people that Islam will be victorious because of what they go through. And so think about it. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was because of the persecution that they went through. The poor, the weak, the powerless. It was because of that that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the Muslims victory. If they didn't go through all of that persecution, then what test, what trial would make them to deserve the victory? And so that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, are you not granted victory except because of these people? And so we should beware of mocking or ridiculing or making fun of anyone, regardless of, you know, where they stand or how less fortunate they may be. And so this is the tactic used by Quraysh to try to ward people away from Islam and to try to prevent the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from succeeding in conveying the message and giving da'wah. The next tactic that they used was disruption and disturbance. And so Quraysh were well aware of the power of the Quran and how it would mesmerize people just by its words being recited. People would embrace Islam. They would embrace Islam only by hearing the words of the Quran. because these were Arabs who were being addressed by the Quran in the language that they understood. It was not a foreign language. It was a language that they understood very well. So now add to that the eloquence and the rhythmic style of the Quran that fascinates even those who do not even understand a word of the Arabic language. So how about for the Arabs, who this is their tongue and this is their language, the eloquence and the beauty of the words of the Quran, when they would hear it, just the words alone would be so powerful and effective that it would cause many of them to accept Islam without any hesitation whatsoever. And so what they decided to do after realizing this, that this is something that we cannot challenge, we don't have any fight to put against these words, so what should we do? They decided to basically cause disruption and disturbance and to cause chaos whenever the Quran was recited. The whole purpose of that was so that people would not hear the Quran, and so they would not become affected by it, and thereby they would not accept Islam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this regard, in Surah Fussilat, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَا تَسْمَعُوا لِهَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَالْغَوْ فِيهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ. And the disbelievers, they advised each other. They said, do not listen to this Quran and drown it out, meaning make noise when it is recited. Drown it out with your voices, with your chaos, so that لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ, so that you can prevail. Because they knew that we have no way of prevailing in this battle. The Quran is powerful. We cannot respond to it in kind. And they were challenged to do that, to bring something similar to it. And they failed. They never even took up that challenge because they knew that it was bound to fail. So they said, let us do this instead. If we do this, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَغْلِبُونَ, perhaps you may prevail. And so it is also narrated that this verse was revealed when Abu Jahl said, when Muhammad recites, scream in his face so that he does not know what he's saying. So either they did this to drown out the recitation of the Quran so others cannot hear it, or what was meant by this ayah is when he is reciting the Quran, cause chaos so that he becomes confused and does not know what he's saying. Either way, because of this tactic that was used by Quraysh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would order the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be careful when reciting the Quran, and not to recite it too loud so that the mushrikun could hear and thus cause disturbance, nor recite it too low, thereby preventing people to benefit from it and to hear it. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him, وَلَا تَجْهَرْ بِصَلَاتِكَ وَلَا تُخَافِتْ بِهَا وَبِتَغِي بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا. Do not recite your salah, meaning the Quran you recite in your salah, do not recite it too loudly nor too silently, but seek a way between that. And so Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he narrates, as found in Bukhari and Muslim, He says this verse was revealed while Allah's Messenger was hiding himself in Mecca. When he prayed with his companions, he used to raise his voice with the recitation of the Quran. And if the mushrikun happened to hear him, they would insult the Quran, they would insult the one who revealed it, and they would insult the one who brought it. Therefore, Allah said to his Prophet, neither say your prayer aloud, meaning do not recite loudly so that the mushrikun could hear you, but follow a way in between. Ibn Hajar, commenting on this hadith, he says what is meant by Ibn Abbas saying while the Prophet ﷺ was hiding in Mecca, what is meant by that is the early years of Islam. In the early years of Islam. And we mentioned previously that in the first 3 years of the da'wah, the Prophet ﷺ was giving da'wah secretly, in hiding. And so this is a tactic that was used by Quraysh to cause chaos, to cause disturbance, so that people would not benefit and therefore become affected by the power of the Quran. And so among the lessons that we learn from this tactic is, first of all, again, why would they resort to doing this? Because they were unable to respond to the truth of the Quran by showing people that it was false. They couldn't do that. They were even challenged to produce something like it. And so in the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them to bring a surah like it. When they failed to meet that challenge, Allah reduced it and said, bring 10 ayat similar to the Quran. Only 10 verses. When they failed to do that, Allah said, bring one, just one ayah similar to it. And then when they were unable to do that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that if mankind and the jinn were all to get together and try to produce something similar to it, they will never produce anything similar to it. And so when they failed in all of that, they had nothing left to do but to resort to this tactic to cause chaos, to cause disturbance. We don't want the people to hear the Quran at any cost. And likewise, in this day and age, the enemies of Islam, they do the same thing. To drown out the message of the Quran, they will cause chaos and disturbance, and they don't want the people to hear the truth of the Quran. The second lesson that we learn is that the power of the Quran is evidence that it is not the words of any created being, but rather these are the words that are from outside of this world. When we see the power that the Quran has, when these words are recited, how they affect the heart, it shows that they are not like the words of anyone else. If these were human words, then anyone who comes up with similar words can have the same effect. But that never happens. And that's why even the most powerful of songs and music, when a person hears them the first time, he'll become affected by them. And when he hears them again and again and again, he becomes tired of it. And he wants something new. That's it. He's done and over with this song. And he wants something new. But that never happens with the Quran. for 1400 years these words have been recited. And throughout one's life he is hearing these words and he's reciting them, and he never becomes tired of them. That shows us that these cannot be the words of any human being. And we've covered the stories of some of the companions who were told, who were warned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, outsiders from outside of Mecca. They were warned that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says things and recites things that mesmerize the heart and fascinate a person. Beware of him. Do not listen to him. And so we mention in the story of Tufail radiallahu anhu that when he was told this, he entered Mecca with cotton in his ears to make sure that he would not listen to anything. But then when he decided to listen to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was affected by it. And so many other stories. The third lesson that we learn is that this shows us the fear that Quraysh had of the power of the Quran, and how their fear was a sign of their cowardice nature. They were cowards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this in Surah Al-Muddathir. فَمَا لَهُمْ عَنِ التَّذْكِرَةِ مُعْرِضُونَ. What's wrong with them that they are turning away from the reminder? In the Quran, whenever a dhikr is mentioned or a tadhkira, it's referring to the Quran. Allah says, what's wrong with them that they're turning away from the reminder, from the Quran? كَأَنَّهُمْ حُمُرٌ مُسْتَنْفِرَةٌ. As if they were frightened wild donkeys. As if they were frightened wild donkeys. فَرَّتْ مِنْ قَسْوَرَةٌ. Who flee from either a lion or a hunter. Who flee from either a predator or a hunter. And so wild animals that are targets of either hunters or predators, as soon as they sense danger, they immediately run and flee. And so look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described the mushrikun of Quraysh. What's wrong with them that they are fleeing from the reminder, from the Quran, as if they are wild donkeys fleeing from a hunter or a predator? And so this is how they are, cowards. They're afraid. Why? Because they know the power of the Quran. And so this is why, if most kuffar were to actually stop and listen to the Quran with an open heart, not being judgmental or coming with preconceived notions about Islam, about the Quran, they will see the truth in it and they will accept it right away. This happened in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it continues to happen until today. They're told all kinds of lies, and the media continues to brainwash them by showing the Muslims for what they are not, and by describing Islam for what it is not. But when these people come with an open heart and they leave these preconceived notions behind them and they listen to the message of the Quran, then they accept Islam right away. But the problem is that they have been filled with fear. they have been filled with fear. And so they are like these frightened wild animals when they see a Muslim. Or they hear something associated with Islam, they run. And so they're cowards. Even though the opposite is true. They're fleeing from that which is guidance for them. That which is salvation for them. Not something that is dangerous for them. And this just goes to show their ignorance. This only goes to show their ignorance, for they have not truly understood the message that they're so afraid of. And so this is where we have a huge responsibility on our shoulders to remove the fear. To remove the fear that has been associated with Islam in the minds of the people. Finally, the last lesson that we can learn is that we Muslims, our duty is to listen to the Quran and ponder over it when it is recited, instead of busying ourselves with other things. And so we become busy in this dunya, and we don't take time out to read the Quran and to ponder over its meanings. And also, we need to be cautious, and we need to beware of not being like these kuffar, that when the Quran is recited, instead of listening to it, we raise our voices and we cause disruption and disturbance. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا قُرِئَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. When the Quran is recited, listen to it. Listen to it. Don't make noise, so that perhaps you may receive mercy. And so we need to beware of not unintentionally falling into the same thing that the kuffar, they do when the Quran is being recited. And so this is the tactic that was used by Quraysh. And they thought that through this they will prevail. But they did not. They did not prevail. And they failed to do what they were trying to achieve. And so next week we'll move on to other tactics that they resorted to. And these are some of the more dangerous tactics that they resorted to. And this was related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in particular, where they came to him and they wanted to negotiate because they had enough. And they thought that let us approach him and let us see how we can negotiate. And so we'll look at that next week, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Sallallahumma wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.